Right now, we are joined by Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library talking books this week. And do we have a new official theme song? We were kind of rocking
that?
Out
I was
to.
Bopping along.
That was Renegades by Ex-Ambassadors.
I don't know them, yeah. But I
that
like is,
that's
them.
That's not former ambassadors. That's the letter X ambassadors.
Ex-ambassadors.
So 10 ambassadors came together to make the song Renegades.
I liked it.
Yeah. That's a good song, right?
How do you
I
choose
love that
the bumper
song.
Music? That is the right term. Bumper
that
music?
That is bumper music or rejoin music. I don't
rejoin.
Know radio
rejoin.
Terms. I talk into this microphone and then magic happens and people listen to it. I don't really know how things work.
And can't you only like play a certain number of seconds before it's not fair use?
Before we, yeah.
Pay for
I think
it or something?
I think the rule is 45 seconds, of which you just heard like 10, so we're not even coming close
okay.
to, we're not bumping up against the limit with the bumper music.
Gotcha.
Yet. We're going to be, yeah. Anyway.
So that makes me jump right into my question here.
Uh-oh.
Everybody is talking about the Olympics, right? Like
yes.
the real Olympics.
The real Olympics,
I often
yeah,
like
as opposed
to
the fake Olympics.
Well, like the other ones, like I know what events would be in the library Olympics, and
yes.
I'm thinking that something like synchronized bumper music cutoff would be in the radio. Like, what would be
yeah.
in the radio
oh, for,
Olympics?
Oh, the radio Olympics? Oh, God. You're
like
putting me on the spot.
Reading
I don't
PSAs?
Know. Speed reading. Yeah, speed reading. Oh, not PSAs, but like the fine print information at the end
yes,
of the car
those
ads.
Car ads?
Yeah,
that would be
yeah.
awesome.
Which you actually don't. This is behind the scenes. You don't actually read that at high speed. You read it at normal speed, and then they speed it up at the end
oh,
of the
really?
At the end of the ad.
So
yeah,
you just
I'm sure there's
kill,
some
I mean,
like I'm sorry.
I thought people
no,
had
no,
that
no.
job. Like you, like there were only certain people that could talk that fast.
There are certain people who can
oh,
talk
okay.
that fast, but I think they're like, I don't know, lawyers or auctioneers or something. Yeah, so I had to do that one time. It's like, I'll just read it at a normal pace and we'll speed it up. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah, there are those people, like that Micro Machine guy from the 80s.
Yeah.
He actually talked like that.
I remember that
yeah.
guy.
But yeah, you could do that. You could do... wait a minute. Let me pull up the Olympic because I was trying to think about Olympic events, and at Olympic.org they've got this great list of all of the summer and winter sports, which come with this really hilarious
oh the icons
yeah for all of them, which in every single case invariably makes it look like this poor stick figure is about to do something like oh my god what on earth am I doing, like the freestyle skiing makes it look like this guy's just face planted onto the turf. I think he's supposed to be like flipping upside down or something. The snowboard makes it just look like he's going up an escalator and just trying to be really cool about it. Look at this.
Everyone out there, look at what
yeah, look
Aaron's
at look at this. Oh man, the visuals
screen.
Are incredible. Ugh. You have no idea.
Have you heard
what's
about jousting?
On.
The people that are trying to get jousting in?
No.
There are some people who are making a concerted effort to have full on jousting.
I like it.
Like not modified modern. It is. They
like
are
actual. Just
they are in the metal suits and the horses are all
like American gladiator. Oh, like actual like on
I
horses.
From,
like
I think they're from England.
Renfair jousting.
Renfair jousting.
I love it.
They're
let's do it.
Make it an
I
Olympic
love
sport.
Renfair jousting. I thought
yeah.
it was American gladiators jousting
no.
where you stand on those
no.
those pedestals with the like puffy things and
from
try to knock each
I
other
understand,
off.
I understand this is real deal jousting.
All right.
Trying to get it in the Olympics.
Cool.
Which is pretty great.
That's awesome.
So
I am 100%
Olympics
in favor.
Would be like, you know, shushing, silent
shushing,
reading.
Yeah, competitive shushing.
These are the like stereotypical.
Right,
this is
right.
not Chapel Hill Public Library, but the stereotypical you know, cardigan putting on
wearing,
and off cardigan
wearing, putting
well,
on
the uniforms, right? Like the
can I just ask the salacious Olympic. Question of how often does a librarian have to take off the cardigan as part of the library job?
Coming in and out of air conditioning.
Okay. Oh yes,
different
that's
parts
true.
Of the building.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I
that's
don't actually
true.
Own any cardigans.
Really?
They might hunt me down and like take away my master's
Ooh,
degree. I don't
I
have
think,
any cardigans.
I think I might have one like in the back of my closet that
I
never
see
wear.
You cardigan.
Yeah. I generally don't wear cardigans, but I think I have one. And now that we're talking about cardigans. I have the 90s song Love Fool stuck in my head.
That could be the bumper music.
That could
when
be
I
the
leave.
Bumper
Can
music.
Can you make that
Ooh,
happen?
I don't know. We'll have to pull up part of it on YouTube or something.
Okay.
Cool. So we're talking about the Olympics.
Yeah, we just jumped right in there. How the heck are things? Everything as well?
They're going good.
When
I'm
you guys
still
move?
Racking. We're looking at, actually, it's less than a month as of right now. So, yeah.
That's
You're
going
to be able to walk across scary Estes Franklin intersection to get to get the University Mall.
Maybe.
It's going to be very easily
I'll
convenient.
I'll totally walk because I'm all into walking. And
yeah, of
I
course. And
you're
like, you leave the library
footprint.
And like it's all the way down the hill. Like it's all downhill to get to University
and
Place.
And then I have to
so.
Go back to work to
you
get my
have to
car.
Go back to
and
work.
It's, well, how am I going to get home?
Park at University Place. And then walk uphill to get
morning.
To the library. But that's when you're at your most energetic, right?
Right. Okay.
That's not when I'm at my most energetic, but I'm sure some people are like
I'm
that.
I'm a morning person.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Park at University Place. Leave.
So you guys are moving.
I think
that's
might get
awesome.
Towed. Yeah, we're. I think we're looking at early September is the date. Like it's not exciting. We're not going to know until the day. So like we're going to know. Well, not the day, but like maybe the week or so before. When it's like all the inspections are done, the sheetrock is up, the things are in place, all of the furniture's there. All right, let's move,
your
move, 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 move. Let's go.
Is finished.
Oh yeah, my corner office.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. Well, we are very excited to have you guys as neighbors.
I am super excited about this. It's going to be great. There's going to be a window. You're going to be able to look in and see Ron in the morning and me in the afternoon. So all of you listening out there who have wanted to see the magic happen, like this conversation that we have every single week, and the visuals are just as amazing as
will
the audio,
like
if
the
you can
Today
believe
Show?
It.
Will it be like Today Show? Will people be able to like put up the foam finger? Oh, that's going to be
put up
awesome.
The foam finger, bring signs. Like I traveled a mile and a half to get here today.
I walked down the hill from the library to be here.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm super looking forward
Yay.
To it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. We're flipping the switch in about a month.
Okay.
There,
things are good at the library. Thanks for asking, Aaron.
I assume they're always good at the library.
Summer reading has been awesome.
Yes.
I think it's winding down. I think next week.
Another week or so?
I want to say like the 15th, 18th, somewhere in there. Record-breaking year. We busted all the records, and it's pretty cool. And we're sort of resetting as the school year starts.
That's awesome. So how many, like, you were filling out those like letters on the wall, right? So
we filled
how did
up
that,
the whole wall.
That's awesome.
I want to say there's like 3,000 or 4,000 people that participated.
No doubt.
The goal was 20,000 hours. We're also measuring it on the front window of the building with these little book stacks of books.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at like 25,000 hours. It's been a great
That's
year.
That's incredible.
It's been awesome.
That's really cool.
Yes.
So we had the
reading were an Olympic sport.
Ooh, it could be competitive reading.
We
competitive,
could, Chapel Hill could,
We would win that competition. Yeah, we would be our own country.
Right.
We might have to pee depending on who wins this presidential election. Can you imagine, like, I'm just jumping back to the CBS report about, like, Mike Pence getting up and talking, like, trying to defend Donald Trump. Like, what pep talk do you think he delivers to himself when he gets up and he's in the bathroom getting ready and, like, shaving and showering and getting ready to start his day? Like, he's got to look in the mirror.
He's got,
and,
like, the Rocky music,
like,
maybe.
Yeah, he's got to give himself a pep talk. What do you say if you're Mike Pence and you're like, all right, I'm going to go out there and defend Donald Trump today. Let's go.
Right?
It's going to be another bang up day of making the world a different place. I don't know. I can't feel sorry for him. He brought it on himself.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Rarely am I rendered speechless. I got nothing. So let's talk about books and Olympics.
Let's talk about books. Oh, competitive segueing. That's what the radio Olympics would be. Yeah.
Competitive. Do radio people segue?
Yes, we do.
Really?
Yeah, we ride down the street on those things.
Segways make me angry. I don't know why. I have this weird, I get really intensely irate when I see segways, and I don't know why. My brother was on a segway tour somewhere near a body of water, and he almost ran his segway off the pier into the water.
That would be hilarious.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm talking about like changing the subject, though, like segueing from one topic to another. Oh, Lord.
I thought you meant the segways, the things you ride around on. That's why I was confused. Oh, my God. I didn't
the radio
think
people,
about
like Ron Stutz is riding around town on the Segway even as we speak.
Well, I mean, there could be a correlation.
There could be, yeah. All the radio
and
people like riding down going.
So the Segway that you're talking about is also one of those words that you see in print, but if you haven't heard it pronounced.
Yeah, because it's
like,
S-E-G-U-E, like,
right?
Segu.
Segu.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk books.
Let's talk books.
I feel like we got to go there because otherwise I don't know what's going to happen next.
So competitive segueing and also competitive, like, what's it called when, like, Bob Ross is painting and the sound makes you, like, get all tingly? You know that phenomenon?
Really, we should start talking about books
right
now.
Fine,
I don't even know
books.
What that
competitive
is.
Competitive that. It's a phenomenon.
Ross,
they discovered it on YouTube.
I do love Bob Ross.
Yeah. It's that like it's that phenomenon that they just recently discovered when people started like this. Millions of people were watching these specific YouTube videos, and everyone was like, "Why are these YouTube videos being so popular?" Because they like the sound of like really soft like tones. Like there's a certain percentage of the population, like
happy
little trees, and the shh of the brush up against the there's a certain percentage of the population that just gets really really tingly when you hear that really soft tone. And
that's a
and
good
nobody
voice to
knew
use
that
in the
it,
library as well.
Yeah,
right there,
nobody knew this phenomenon existed until YouTube, and then like, oh, you feel this way too? Oh, you feel this way? It was great.
Ah, the power of the interwebs.
Yes. All right, let's talk books.
Seriously, let's talk books.
Okay, we're talking about the Olympics.
Let's do it.
Cool. So Olympic related books, right? Cool.
Yes.
Awesome. So what
okay.
you got?
I went so my first two are books that I've not read, but they're in our collection because I was looking for a good sort of general book, very like one to one. I'm not going off on any crazy tangent, just books about the Olympics.
Okay.
And two came up, one that actually focuses just on one. It's a book by David Moranis, who wrote a biography of Bill Clinton. He's written about Vince Lombardi. He's written about some other presidents. He's a great nonfiction biographer. Mm-hmm. And this book is called Rome 1960, The Olympics That Changed the World. Which
awesome.
Is a little bit of a hyperbolic title.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's like, really, who remembers Rome 1960? Like, you've got the Berlin ones and all the different ones in the 60s, you know? It looks like a really great book. What is appealing to me, I flipped through it, is he looks at that Olympics and he looks at sort of some of the lesser known characters.
Okay.
Cool. So he takes one specific year and sort of unpacks it and looks at all the characters. So that's David Moranis, Rome, 1960. But then the other one that I didn't have a chance to check if we had it, I read a review of it in the New York Times recently. It's called The Games, A Global History of the Olympics. And it's by an author named David Goldblatt.
Yes.
And what I like about this one is it's the history of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of like, and I think they said this in the review, sort of like how Howard Zinn's People's History of the U.S. is kind of like a little bit darker side of history.
Yes.
That's what this does.
Okay,
so this
I like
guy
that.
Goes from Greece to the present day.
He's going to have to double the size of this book if he updates it after Rio.
Right? And what's interesting about it is I think that he, I think is it the IOC?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're now with, well, they've always done this, but with Rio, they're really tightly controlling their image. So they've set all of these crazy rules about social media and you can't do any GIFs and all of this.
Yeah.
They probably were not.
Because the IOC is the best organization to be like
they're
setting the
so
rules of decorous behavior.
Right. Very ethical.
Yeah.
They probably did not like this book coming out because it takes all of that and says, no, this is what's really going on. So it looks at everything from race and women and the politics and the money. And that one is called The Games, A Global History of the Olympics by David Goldblatt.
That sounds really interesting. So getting back to Rome 1960, what was it about Rome 1960 that like changed the world? Is it just like every Olympics changes the world, or is something about this particular one?
A bit of that. I think he took that subtitle to really, you know, catch people. I'm not sure that one really changed the world, but I think it's an interesting conglomeration or coming together of different countries, different sports, the politics of it all, personalities. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So I had to cheat on this one because I was racking my brain trying to think of a book about the Olympics that I had read and could recommend. And I was going online and it's like, books about the Olympics, books about individual sports within the Olympics. Like, couldn't come up with anything. But then I'm cheating because this is one that I've recommended in the past, but it's about an Olympic athlete who has, he makes it all the way to the Olympics. His Olympic dreams are kind of dashed, but that's a very tiny little part of the larger book about his saga, which is Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand. So Louis Zamperini, Olympic athlete in 1940, but then like he has his Olympics dreams dashed at the last minute, but then ends up as a plane crash in World War II in the Pacific. He's drifting forever. He gets picked up and rescued, but it's by the Japanese. So now he's in a POW camp, and it's this unbelievable story of survival.
Great book.
Really great book. Yeah.
So that's
still have not seen the movie, but
I haven't either. And that's a great segue.
to my next pick, which I have read. It's a really great book. If you like nonfiction a la Lauren Hillenbrand, and things set in that era, I'm going to recommend, it's by Daniel James Brown. It's called The Boys in the Boat.
Oh, yeah.
It came out a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty big hit, and I can't remember if there's a movie of it, or maybe it's in production.
Sure. Yeah.
It's nonfiction that reads like fiction. It's very much a page-turner. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's the 1936 Olympics, and there's a crew team from the University of Washington. It's an 8-man crew team. And they basically set out to win gold at the Berlin Olympics. They're all like, I think they're all like, you know, farm boys from Idaho or something. Kind of, they're it's a underdog story up by the bootstraps. They have a lot of challenges to overcome, and they're unlike Zamperini. Their Olympic dreams are not quashed.
Okay.
I won't tell you anymore. It's very much nonfiction that reads like a novel, is The Boys in the Boat.
Boys in the Boat by who again? Daniel James Brown. Okay, so I'm going to have to check these two out. And so my other one, and this is the only other one that I have for today, and then you take it over from there, but this is actually one that I'm not sure about Chapel Hill readers, if y'all are going to be into this or not, but you're familiar with Mitch Albom, who is the author of The Five People You Meet in Heaven and Tuesdays with Morrie and a number of other really heartwarming books. He got his start, and I think I'm pretty sure he still does this. He got a start as a sports writer, and he writes about this in Tuesdays with Morrie.
Right? Yep.
Got a start as a sports writer all over the place, but really made his name in Detroit, working for the Detroit Free Press, covering Detroit sports teams. And so popular, and like growing up in Lansing, you know, we didn't get the Detroit papers at all unless you paid for them in the newsstand. But we knew Mitch Albom. His columns were like really, really well known. And he was so popular that they came out with a collection of his columns called The Live Album. There's got to be a pun.
It took me a split second there. The Live
Album. Competitive punning. That would be another. That would be another Olympic event. Yeah. I would win geld. which actually isn't a pun, but whatever. they collected his pieces into a book called The Live Album. Then there was a Live Album Part 2 and a Live Album Part 3, and I think there was a Part 4. But just amazing sports writing. And I was growing up, like, elementary school into middle school and starting into high school, so I'm, like, learning how to write.
Yeah.
And I'm learning how to write basically by aping Mitch Albom and copying his writing style is how I ended up learning how to write. For many, many years, I tried to write just like this guy and only developed my own style. Maybe I still haven't. I don't even know. But just an amazing writer, amazing columnist, amazing sports writer. And he writes about the Olympics, and specifically the 92 Olympics in Barcelona. So, so good.
I love great sports writing, and I love great travel writing. I've traveled some. I don't travel as a hobby, and I like sports. I don't love sports. I'm not like the huge sports fan, but I love great sports writing and great travel writing.
Check out The Live Album. It's going to be hard to get your hands on a copy in North Carolina because so much of it is Detroit specific, so go to Michigan and you'll probably be able to find a copy. But
you could travel to Michigan to get
a copy of The Live Album 3 in particular if you like travel writing, because he goes to the Iditarod up in Alaska.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Also, I think in like 91, 92, and his writing about the Iditarod is amazing. Just covering all the people and the experience, and he's traveling along the route with them, like flying from town to town in planes, which are equally dangerous. And yeah, it's great stuff. Yeah, and even if you're not a fan of the sort of inspirational checkout counter at the bookstore fiction that he writes now, he's still an amazing sports writer. So
that's great, because when you started talking about him, I was like, dude, what?
Yeah, he's very, yeah, I'm I know, not, I yeah. know.
But yeah,
I'm sure he's a wonderful guy. But
I bet he is.
I actually have read Tuesdays with Maury and the Five People You Meet in Heaven. I'll recommend Tuesdays with Maury. It's not too bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got one more.
Okay.
Everything that we've talked about so far has been nonfiction.
Yes.
So I wanted to bring a little fiction to the mix. This is an author named Chris Cleave. He's got a book out now called Everyone Brave is Forgiven. That's very, very good. It's a World War II setting. And then he was very known for his, I think it was his debut. It was called Little Bee, which was a great book. If book clubs out there or people that love literary fiction, it's such a good book. I recommend that one a lot. But his, between those two, he came out with a book called Gold. He's a British writer, and Gold is set in the world of professional cycling, which watching that on TV, those mountain cyclists and all of that, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I could, it blows my mind. But this is a novel set in the world of professional cycling, and it's two people who have competed against each other for years, and they are training in the run-up to their final Olympic Games. And it's basically one of the characters will do anything to win, and the other one is not that way, and it's a lot of the ethics and competition and the personalities, and it's not my favorite novel of his, but he's a great writer, and I enjoyed a glimpse into that world. So
awesome.
That's Gold by Chris Cleave.
What is your favorite Olympic event?
Real or fictional? Real?
Real. Yeah.
I don't know. I think the synchronized diving is my new favorite.
I love synchronized diving.
That is
cool. I love diving and gymnastics. Those are my two.
Yes.
And actually, I'm a big figure skating fan if you're in the Winter Olympics.
Right.
Like,
oh,
I like
sure.
the sort of artistic, like extremely athletic, but it's the artistry that you're
and
that
I will
I like
say,
watching.
Much like Bob Ross and the Trees, I find curling very comforting
curling
and mesmerizing
is fun.
To watch.
It's a really interesting sport.
Yes.
And you can be like 52 years old and have grandchildren and still be an Olympic athlete in curling,
right?
Which gives us all a little bit of hope. Did you see what Bill Murray tweeted about the Olympics?
No.
It was the perfect line. It was, I'm not going to remember it verbatim, but it was, every Olympic event should have at least one normal person competing for it just to give us a frame of reference for how amazing these people are. Because you never see how incredible it is to, like competitive diving.
Easy, right?
They make it look easy, but you like get up there, and I've seen, like, there's the video that you can watch now, and I think it's not from the Olympics. I think it's from 2015, but it's making the rounds now of those Philippine divers
who are
completely tanking. But they're doing like 2.5 pike somersault twists in the air before belly flopping. I'm watching this. I'm like, this is impressive. I couldn't do this.
I couldn't even execute a belly flop.
Everyone is making fun of these people. I'm like, I am not even close, nor will I ever be close to being as talented a divers as these are.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's a great idea.
All right. So that's our Olympic book recommendation. Susan Brown. Let's play you out.
Are you going to do it?
With a little love, fool. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.